Your friends in Jesus Christ, in the movie A League of Their Own, the story is told of the professional women's baseball league, which ran from 1943 to 1954. And in the film version, the team's catcher decides to quit just before the league championship. "It just got too hard," she explains to her manager. Infuriated, the manager, played by Tom Hanks, responds to her saying, "Hard? It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great." Of course, the manager isn't only talking about baseball. He's talking about life. Here in our passage this morning, Jesus is teaching his listeners about the difficult and narrow road that leads to life. He's nearing the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount, and from this point on, he emphasizes that his teachings are not just to be praised, but they're to be put into practice. In other words, he's saying to his followers, to his listeners, don't just listen to my teaching to gain a little inspiration, to gain a little guidance. No, my teaching is intended to transform your very life. And the only way that it will do so is if you not only receive it, but you also begin to live it. In other words, Jesus is making his teaching very personal because he wants us to see it make a difference in our very lives. So how does he do that? One of the things he does is he deliberately uses a word that in today's world many people despise. It's a word that accurately describes the very nature of the gospel. It's this word, narrow. "Enter through the narrow gate," he says. "Small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it." In today's world, to be called narrow or narrow-minded is often viewed as an incredible insult. Call me anything, don't call me narrow. And yet what Jesus is saying is very specific. He's saying, if you want to follow me, then you need to take the narrow way. The way that leads to life is one that demands focus, authenticity, intensity. And it's the only way that leads to the kind of life that you've been searching for all your life. Now, this really shouldn't surprise us too much, should it? I mean, we certainly apply this principle to other areas of our lives. You want to become a great scientist, an incredible athlete, or a renowned a musician? Well, I guarantee that to do so, it's going to demand tremendous sacrifice. It's going to demand significant time, energy, discipline. If you want your dream to become a reality, it's not going to be easy. And the same is often true spiritually. This principle of narrowness leading to fullness is just as true of our spiritual life as it is in many other things in life. Unless we're willing to commit ourselves fully to the life of Christ, we'll never know true spiritual prosperity. And this teaching of Jesus is about as blunt and clear as it can get. When it comes to spiritual things, nobody's on the fence. But let's dig a little deeper. What are the two roads? And what is Jesus teaching us about them? Certainly one of the keys to understanding the passage is to first understand who Jesus is talking about in verses 21 through 23. Listen again to those verses. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So who are these people? And what do we know about them? Well, for starters, we know that whatever they're doing, they are doing in Jesus' name. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Okay, so the first thing we know is that they claim to be Christians. We know, too, that they're doing good things in the name of Jesus. They're professing believers. They refer to Jesus as Lord, not just once, but twice. Lord, Lord. A sign that they acknowledge that the deity of Christ. In other words, they believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And then look at all the many good things that they're doing in Jesus' name. They're prophesying. They're casting out demons. They're performing many miracles. These are folks engaged in ministry. In today's culture, these might be your church leaders, your pastors, your elders, your deacons, your youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, you name it. These are folks actively engaged in ministry. As a result, people's lives are being changed. Demons are being cast out. Physical healings are taking place. Wow. And what does Jesus say to these productive Christians that profess him as Lord? He says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What in the world? I never knew you, Jesus says to them. In other words, you may have all of your doctrine right. You might profess me as Lord. You might be used mightily by me to change people's lives. But I never knew you. You never really had a relationship with me. You never lived into the truth of John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Because of that, you are not saved. You never had saving faith. I never knew you. Now, if that doesn't wake us up, if that doesn't scare us a little bit, then we're probably more spiritually asleep than we realize. It's supposed to scare us. What Jesus is saying here is that you can be an active member of your church. You can know your Bible front and back. You can be perceived by others as being the most loving, giving, and generous Christian in the world and still not know Jesus and have saving faith. And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Apparently, the people Jesus is talking about here in these verses have many, many spiritual gifts. Furthermore, God is certainly using them to do great things. But truth be told, that's not really a big deal. God can use anyone he wants to. He's done that throughout history. God even uses people like Judas to accomplish his purposes here on earth. What these people don't have is spiritual fruit. And that makes all the difference in the world. The spiritual gifts are what you do, preaching, teaching, counseling, serving the poor. The list is endless. Spiritual fruit is what you are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And what Jesus is saying is, if your inner life is not growing like that, if your life is not being transformed more and more into my likeness, then you really don't know me. You don't really know the gospel. So then who really does know the gospel? If all these people who are doing great ministerial work, leading thousands to Christ, prophesying in his name, casting out demons, performing miracles, if these aren't the people on the narrow road, then who is? You see, I suspect that for many of us, when we read this text about the narrow road and the wide road, our interpretation oftentimes goes something like this. Those who are on the narrow road are those who are following God's law. It's those who are striving to keep those Ten Commandments. Those who are trying to have that disciplined prayer life, reading their Bible every day, go to church every week, heavily involved in doing a lot of good Christian activities. It's all those striving to do good things in the name of Jesus. And as for the wide road, well, that refers to those who are living immoral lives. Maybe they're acting out in certain ways. Maybe they're pursuing the idols of the world. Who knows, maybe they show up at church once a month, but of course they're not really involved in ministry. And if that's the way that you've often interpreted this passage, the relatively good news is that you're not alone. The bad news is that you're interpreting it wrongly, and you're missing the point that Jesus is making. Since when do our works or our behavior ever earn us eternal life or standing before God? Okay, then what does this metaphor mean? What is this narrow gate and road? And what is the wide gate and road? What exactly is Jesus trying to teach? At the heart of his teaching here is the concept that those who enter through the narrow gate, that tiny little gate that looks like you will be crushed or smothered to death when you enter through it, that is actually the gate that leads to life and to heaven itself. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Of course, on the flip side, there's this incredibly inviting wide gate that leads to a beautiful boulevard of a road. And unfortunately, it's also a road that leads to destruction, ultimately to death. In other words, to hell itself. It's the main concept. The small and narrow gate is the one that looks like it might kill you. And yet, on the other side, you discover that it actually leads you to life. Place of peace. In contrast, the wide gate, the broad road is one that looks inviting, but it inevitably leads to destruction and to death, to a place where you are literally choking for breath. That's the image. What are they? And how can we know if we've entered the right gate and we're traveling the narrow road? How can we be assured this morning that he won't say to us, "I never knew you"? Before we distinguish between the two, let me just point out that on the surface, again, both roads look exactly the same. They look alike. Remember the context. Two roads, two trees, two homes. On the outside, they look the same, but there's something different on the inside. Something different with a part that we can't see. Something that causes one tree to bear good fruit and the other tree to bear bad fruit. The two homes both look alike on the outside, but hidden underneath, we learn that one has its foundation on the rock, the other on the sand. One will stand up to the storms of life, the other will fall. Remember, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is a true Christian. They may look the same. They may go to the same church. They may serve on the same Christian school committees. On the outside, they look similar. It's the inside that matters. And so we go back to the metaphor. And since Jesus makes it clear that more people are on the wide road than on the narrow road, let's begin with that one first. The wide gate, the broad road that Jesus is referring to, is the road that every human being is on unless the Holy Spirit has radically changed their heart. If you talk religion with many people, with most folks, I guarantee that That one basic belief and understanding that often comes through is something along the lines of this. If I do good things for God, He'll do good things for me. It's certainly at the heart of every other world religion, isn't it? If I pray, if I fast, if I go to worship, if I do all these things, then God will bless my life accordingly. The wide road is this tit-for-tat type of relationship with God. If I do this for God, then God will do this for me. If I pray really hard this week, then certainly God will bless me with that new job promotion that I've been longing for. Lord, I've been following your commandments pretty well lately. Therefore, please don't forget about me when I take my math test tomorrow morning. And of course, we all know the reason that some sports players succeed and others don't is because some players are simply more devout believers. And you don't you see how many athletes eagerly give glory to God after a victory, but then are kind of silent in defeat? One of the reasons the wide road is so broad is because it's filled with people who somehow think that if they live a good enough life, then God will certainly accept them, that He will bless them accordingly, not only in this life, but also in the next. And the scary thing about this, and perhaps another reason why the road is so wide, is because it often includes many people in the church. It includes all those who think that by their good deeds and morality, God somehow loves them more and is just waiting to lavish them with physical, material, and spiritual blessings. The wide road is filled with all those who are trying to be their own saviors. And sadly, that particular road, the road that believes that it's up to us to reach for God and the blessings that we think we deserve, is a road that leads to nothing but misery, and ultimately to death. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not that we reach for God, but that in the person and work of Jesus Himself, God reaches down to us. The narrow road is that God, in His infinite love, reaches down to us and gives us a perfect record through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in Christ, God clothes us with robes of righteousness, and we are fully accepted, completely adopted, and perfectly loved by God, even though we did nothing to deserve it. The reason the narrow road is so narrow is because there is only one way onto the road itself. There's only one on-ramp. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, we don't get onto the narrow road through our family or even through our church family. God may certainly use them. The only way onto the narrow road is through Jesus Himself. We have to deal with Him personally. He has to be Lord. And that means that all the other idols in our life, all the other things that we're often basing our identity upon, our own righteousness, our own image, our own fame, our own money, career, our power, our influence, our family, our relationships, you name it. All of that has to take a back seat to Jesus Christ, the living Lord. And we need to repent of anything that has taken priority over our relationship with Him. You see, the road is just so narrow that we can't take any of our own stuff on it. The only thing we can take is Christ and Christ alone. And then when we do, we begin to discover that He is far more than all of those other things combined. He is all that we need, and He is so much more. Perhaps a good picture of the difference between the two roads can be seen on the two different signs in Dante's and Inferno. On the road that leads to life, we read, "Abandon pride, all ye who enter here." And on the road that leads to destruction, we read, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." In other words, pride has to die. We want to have hope. Now, once again, on the surface, the travelers on each of these two roads might both be doing the same things. They're both praying, they're both serving the needy, they're both striving to obey God's commands. And yet the inside is where everything is different. You see, the traveler on the wide road is entirely self-focused. He or she is thinking, if I do these things for God, then certainly God will do these things for me. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not perform many miracles? Lord, look at all the good things we do for you. Now please open the gate and let us into heaven. And meanwhile, the traveler on the narrow road is saying, because God has already done great things for me, therefore, out of gratitude, I will strive to do great things for him. Because God loves me despite my shortcomings, despite my sin, despite my flaws, now I will strive to live my life for him. The difference between the two travelers is that one is trying to save himself, and the other one already knows that he or she is only saved by grace, by the grace of Christ. So what is that narrow road? Well, it's the way of Jesus. It's grace alone, through Christ alone. We're saved by Jesus Christ, not by our works, not by our behavior. And how do you know if you're on that road? Well, you know it when you received Christ into your life. You know it when you know that you are fully accepted, adopted, and treasured by the one alone who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know it when you are so grounded in Christ that the circumstances of this life mean very little in comparison to your relationship with him. You know it when deep down you know that you are a child of the King, perfectly loved by the Father in heaven. And that perfect love is driving out all of your fear. Remember, there's no neutrality here in our text. You're either on one road or the other. You're not on the fence. No one is on the fence. One is either in Christ or they're not. And so if you've never personally asked Christ to come into your life, don't put that off any longer. Today's the day. Today's the day that he's knocking on the door of your heart, longing to come and give you life. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day to take the narrow road that leads to new life. The kind of life that can only be found in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.